speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Again, today we thank you for joining us for the Way of Truth broadcast. You know, from some of the reading we do and from some of the articles in newspapers, you get the idea that the only thing important in religion is the day on which you worship. Especially if you're a Sabbath keeper, then everything else is taken care of. Regardless what subject might be being discussed, it gets around to the Sabbath and the importance of Sabbath keeping. But are Christians required to observe the Sabbath today? You say, well, preacher, you're doing the same thing all this week. You've been talking about the matter of Sabbath or Lord's Day. And it's because there's been an effort to try to bring Sabbath keeping upon all religions that we're dealing with this very important biblical issue. So again, I ask, are Christians required to observe the Sabbath today? Well, we look at Colossians 2, verse 14. There we read, having canceled out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, taking it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And Colossians 2, verse 16 says that there is no one that's to judge you in regard to food or drink or in respect to a holy day or a new moon or a Sabbath day. That these things are just a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. In verse 14, Paul says that the law of Moses has been taken out of the way, that it was nailed to the cross. This is very plain language, indicated the abolition and death of the old law. Paul does not say in this verse that Jesus nailed our sins to the cross, or that he only nailed the sacrificial part of the old law to the cross, but he says the handwriting of ordinances, the certificate, the written document, Paul's way of referring to the old law, and said it was nailed to the cross. This did not consist of our sins, but of decrees and laws against us, Paul's way of referring to the old law. And because the old law was done away with, verse 14, Paul then urged the Colossian Christians to let no one judge or condemn them for not practicing things out of the old law. He specifically mentions the Sabbath as an example. The conclusion, then, is that if we are to continue to keep the Sabbath, then apparently Paul was wrong in what he told the Colossian Christians. While there may have been some pagan ideas that crept into the church at Colossae, the things in verse 16 and 17 are clearly of Jewish origin. Paul clearly places the Sabbath in the category of things that are a shadow and not the reality of Christianity. And to argue that Sabbath keeping is still binding upon Christians today is to argue that now that the reality in Christ has come, we should, for some reason, still be operating under the Old Testament shadow. In Hebrews 7, verse 12, it says there has been a change in the law. Does not say that there has been a change in part of the law, or change in only the ceremonial law, but a blanket change in the law. In fact, no one who has read the book of Hebrews carefully could argue that Christians should practice the things of the old law. The Hebrew letter was written to a group of Christians who were contemplating that very thing. And the author of Hebrews wrote to warn them against going back to the law. He said it's apostasy, it was a falling away, it was an insulting of the Holy Spirit of God. In Ephesians 2, verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broke down the middle wall of partition, abolishing in his flesh enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make of the two one new man, thus establishing peace. Paul plainly says that the law of commandments contained in ordinances has been abolished. It's a clear reference to the law of Moses, and he made no final distinction between the ceremonial and other parts of the law. no statement that only the sacrificial ceremonial was abolished. In fact, the distinction between sacrificial ceremonial and other parts of the law would invalidate Paul's argument in Ephesians 2, because there was much more than the sacrificial or ceremonial part of the law that kept the Jews and the Gentiles apart. The kosher food laws, the Sabbath law, circumcision, all of this divided Jews and Gentiles. And Paul's point is that the whole law acted like a wall, a barrier, between Jews and Gentiles. And that Jesus abolished that barrier, all of it, not just part of it. And to argue that only the ceremonial part of the law of Moses, but not the other parts, including the Sabbath, has been abolished, would not have shown that the barrier between the Jews and Gentiles had been removed. In Galatians 5, verse 3, Paul says, I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. Why would it be any different for the Sabbath? Circumcision was not part of the ceremonial law, so apparently it would be just as binding as the Sabbath. Yet Paul said that the law of Moses was a package deal, and to accept one part of it was to accept all of it. Paul not only fails to distinguish between the sacrificial laws or ceremonial laws and other laws, he flatly denies any such distinction when he says the whole law comes with any one part of it. In other words, the false teachers had told them that only a part of the law of Moses was binding upon Christians, specifically circumcision. And Paul explicitly says that one cannot have just part of the law. Again, in Hebrews 8:13, after quoting Jeremiah 31, verse 31, which was a prophecy of the new covenant, Hebrews 8 says, when he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. To argue for continued observance of the Sabbath today is to argue that we should be following something the New Testament says is obsolete. Does that make sense? Nothing in Jeremiah's prophecy of the New Covenant suggests that God would keep part of the old law in force when the New Covenant came along. In fact, just the opposite is stated when God describes the New Covenant, saying that it would not be like the covenant which he made with their fathers in the day he took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. And in Acts 15, verse 10, Peter has the very same view of the old law as Paul did in Galatians 5, 3. In Acts 15, there were some who were saying it was necessary to practice circumcision upon Gentile Christians, and to direct them to observe the law of Moses, Acts 15:5. Circumcision was a focal point of the controversy, but verse 5 makes it clear that the teachers from Jerusalem intended to bind all the law of Moses on Christians. That would have included the Sabbath. In verse 10, the Apostle Peter describes the law of Moses as a whole and as a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. That included circumcision, the issue of that day, but it also included the Sabbath. And if it was an unbearable yoke then, what makes it any different today? Know that the Apostle Peter makes no distinction between ceremonial and other parts of the law, and any such distinction must be imported into Peter's words. The idea that we cannot keep the law as a means to salvation, but must keep it as a moral law, will not stand up in this passage. In verse 11, Peter objects to any keeping of the old law as a denial of salvation through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Besides, how can something be moral law and not be related to our salvation? If we break a moral law, is that not sin? And will it not cause us to forfeit salvation? Well, if Sabbath keeping were required of Christians, then early church had its prime opportunity to say so in Acts 15 when the apostles wrote a letter spelling out what Gentile Christians had to do to be considered faithful. And in no version of the letter was any mention ever made of Sabbath keeping. The silence of the apostles on Sabbath keeping or on keeping the law for moral guidance is extremely significant given that context. So the apostles simply did not impose the Sabbath on any other part of the old law upon Christians. The Old Testament itself does not distinguish between ceremonial and other parts of the law of Moses. This is a distinction the Bible does not make, and it's invalid as a point of argument that part of the old law, such as the Sabbath, is binding today, while other parts of the law are not binding. There is not one text in the New Testament that says that only the ceremonial part of the law of Moses was abolished and that the rest is still binding. Such an idea must be read into the text, for the statement of the New Testament makes no such distinction between different parts of the law. Instead, what we find is that the New Testament makes blanket statements about the law being abolished. And not once in the New Testament does any author tell any of the early churches that Sabbath keeping was required of Christians. Nor is there any rebuke of any Christians for not keeping the Sabbath. In light of the controversy of the law of Moses, that was a large part of earliest Christianity, and in light of the range of confusion some early churches had over various issues, this silence is amazing. To argue that Sabbath keeping is never mentioned because we may assume that Christians were keeping the Sabbath, and that they did so consistently and perfectly, is to beg the question and is to assume more than is found in the Bible. Well, some of the arguments made, the Sabbath was instituted forever, Exodus 31, verse 16, and that it predates the law of Moses. Thus, even if the law of Moses is abolished, they would say, well, the Sabbath is not. The concept of resting on the seventh day does precede the law of Moses. But the only person who rested on the seventh day before the law of Moses was Jehovah God. There is no scripture that says any humans observed the Sabbath before the law of Moses. The idea that human Sabbath keeping predates the law is just not correct. And forever in that Old Testament usage means for a long time. For example, look at Joshua 4. Verse 7, 1 Samuel 1, verse 22, 1 Samuel 27, verse 12. These make reference to things that are forever, but it was not eternal. And in fact, certain things in connection with animal sacrifices of the law of Moses are said to be forever. Exodus 28, 41, Exodus 29, verse 28, and a host of other references. Using the same logic as the pro-Sabbath keeper argument, the animal sacrifices are just as binding as the Sabbath, for both are said in the Old Testament to be forever. Where are those who, among the Sabbatarians who offer animal sacrifices today? Well, the Bible nowhere makes a distinction that there is a ceremonial part of the law, then there is the letter of the law or the other part of the law. And the fact is that outward observance of the law was the marker of social identity among conservative Jews. If the Christians were practicing everything in the law except animal sacrifices, what made the Christians different from the Hellenistic Jews? There is no binding of the Sabbath upon Christians today. Christians worship on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.